Hi, my name is Alex Donaldson, and I will be conducting this interview on behalf of the One Another Project and the Wellcome Trust.
Right.
The date is the 16th of August 2009. If you could please state your full name, your age, if that's okay, and where you're from.
Alistair John McLaren Alexander. I'm 42, and I'm from Watford in Hertfordshire, but born in Harrow, so haven't travelled far.
And how are you doing today?
Very well. Hot and sweaty because it's a bit humid, but otherwise excited and having a good laugh.
So can I take you just briefly back to when you initially heard about the project?
Right. I think it was probably on the Today programme on Radio 4 that mentioned this, frankly, very odd idea about getting people to go up on plinth. So I put my name into the drawer and was unsuccessful the first time round. And then the next time round, which would have been 1st of July, I think, was it? You get the notification that said you've been successful. And it's quite funny because, you know, I roll over in bed and check my emails and on the computer, that is, I don't know. And it said you've been selected. And it took a moment to sink in. And then so I was sort of, no, does that mean? Oh, it really does. So I'd actually planned to go up to Scotland on holiday on Thursday, just gone. And so had to ring up my son's mother because we're split now, we co-parent kind of thing, and say, you know, we're going to go on Thursday. Well, we're not now because I'm going on the plinth. And she sort of, you're doing what? And so I explained to her about the plinth project, and then explained to my son, who thinks his daddy's weird for doing it. But he's promised he's going to ring me while I'm on the plinth. I have promised that I will do a little jig for him because he'll be watching me. And tell him I love him. And he's told me that he's going to hang up, not me. So yeah, he's 8 years old and he's developing an attitude, which is a mixed blessing for parents, as I'm sure you understand. You know, he can argue the point now, and you think, oh good, you're forming your argumentative skills, but the other side of it is, oh God, you know. So that was how I did it. I'm not a great arts fan kind of thing. But you know, I know the area, I've been to the Coliseum and things like that, and it struck me as a sort of one-off, once-in-a-lifetime experience that, whether it becomes a huge note in history or whether it just becomes a curious footnote, it's still going to be something that I can say, oh yeah, I did that, you know. So it's fun, you know. There's what, 2400 people, of which one will be me, so that's why I'm here.
So can I ask you a little bit about what you're planning to do today?
I'm planning to take photos to document the event for me, because it's a fun thing. It's going to be a view of London that not many people are going to get, or rather not many people are going to get when they're allowed to. Yeah. And I'm also emphasising a point that people taking photographs aren't necessarily up to no good. There's been a couple of arrests recently of people just going about their business taking photographs, which has been a bit concerning. It's one of these things of, you know, trying to make people safer but perhaps going a little bit too far. So I'm emblazoned with a slogan that says I'm a photographer, not a terrorist, in recognition of a campaign that's recently started saying this.
And is this it also in reaction to the recent law that was imposed where you were not allowed to photograph the police?
Yeah, which is a very bizarre thing. I've got a copy of the Metropolitan Police guidelines in my camera bag, that, you know, that there is this peculiar thing that there are situations where you're now not allowed to photograph the police, which strikes me as a very, very strange situation. I can understand why, because, you know, they're doing their job and there are matters of security, but the other side of it is that, you know, freedom of the press is important too. The media and the police are often at loggerheads over sources of information and things like that, but at the risk of using a very hoary old line, that's one of the prices of a free society, and that sounds awfully pretentious. I'm also wearing some other badges and things. I'm wearing my, for sake, support sex workers wristband because I do work with the International Union of Sex Workers, which works to support the rights of people working in the sex industry, and has been going strong since the year 2000. I'm wearing my Backlash wristband, which is an organisation that's concerned about the new extreme pornography laws. That is another thing that's been ostensibly brought in to make people safer, but has made a lot of innocent people very worried. And I'm wearing my kinky badge from SM Pride as well. So, all sort of little subtle statements rather than emblazing myself too much.
Okay. Can I ask you about your views on that kind of area?
Which bit?
Well, you're supporting sex workers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
has
this always been the case? When did this...
Yeah, I was a local councillor for 8 years between 1994 and 2002, and used to get a lot of letters from a local activist who would basically write long letters complaining about knocking shops in my ward. And the thing is, nobody else complained, and this fella didn't even live in the ward. And... I would have acted on them if there'd been a complaint from local residents. As it was, these were girls, and they were just girls that I had the complaints about, going about their business, if you like. Nobody was getting hurt. The residents weren't complaining. And that's what got me interested in sticking up for the rights of people working in the industry. Backlash and SM Pride are, I think, the best way to call it, matters of personal taste. And I think the... It's another group that's easily misperceived in the media, and I think the important thing is to try and present a human face to minorities that are too easily caricatured.
Yeah.
God, that all sounds pretentious, doesn't it? But
So can I ask a little bit about SM Pride?
Yeah.
I don't know much about
SM Pride began. SM Pride is unfortunately folded now, but SM Pride began in the mid-90s in response to R.V. Brown, which was a court case. The police in the north of England had launched a police operation by the name of Operation Spanner, where they had ultimately taken some men to court for sadomasochistic activities. And the men, not unreasonably, felt that consent was an adequate defence in court. Unfortunately, it was held in court that consent wasn't an adequate defence. And so the organisation Countdown on Spanner began as a sort of fundraiser and support group for that, which split into two groups, SM Pride and the Spanner Trust. SM Pride has recently... I mean, folded and was recently superseded by a group called Unfettered, I think. And of course, Backlash is another pressure group involved with that. The argument being that what consenting adults get up to between consenting adults is pretty much their business and their business alone. But there are... to a certain extent, there is legislation being brought in ostensibly to protect people that doesn't seem to be doing that, and just makes a lot of arguably totally innocent people feel very, very guilty when they shouldn't.
Yeah.
So it's something that's close to my heart, but to be honest, I didn't make a big thing of it today. Yeah. Because it's Sunday lunchtime and people don't want that jammed down their throats. People are out there with their kids. I'm not going to be... you know, in my full leather gear and everything else. Maybe if I'd had a late night slot, that might have been different. But you have to think that, I mean, the other thing is there's people who don't know anything about this wandering through.
Yeah,
so, and somebody else had already taken their clothes off, so.
So have you done any other work campaigning for?
Yeah, I did... I've been in a couple of marches and things, was involved in one of the May Day protests in 2002 for the International Union of Sex Workers. SM Pride used to do a march through London. I did that for a couple of years. Other than that, the sort of basic grassroots campaigning speaking to people, lobbying to people, and to a certain extent presenting a human face, being ready to gently and discreetly argue the toss with people, to try and confront misperceptions and change them as best you can.
Okay, great. So when you're actually on the plinth, can I just ask a little bit about what you're planning on doing?
Taking lots of photos. And that's about it. I'm really looking forward to just the oddness of being in a very unusual position for an hour. I'm a little bit nervous about sort of almost being the centre of attention. And I've got a tough act to follow as well with the fellow who's on there at the moment. But I'm just looking forward to taking the photos and enjoying myself. I think it's going to be an opportunity to get some quite unique pictures showing, you know, one day in August in London, but from a very unusual angle. I think it'd be worth keeping hold of them.
And are you doing it for anybody in particular?
Doing it for me. And doing it for my little boy who's going to be watching, okay. Who thinks I'm weird.
That's great.
Which, sign of maturity already if you don't understand your parents.
And ultimately, what kind of experience are you wanting to get out of today?
I just think it's the feeling of saying I was there. I was one of those. Yeah, there'll be time to come years later when people are going to mention Anthony Gormley and say, oh yeah, the guy who did the Angel of the North, the guy who did the life-size statues around London, the guy who was behind the fourth plinth. And I think, oh yeah, I was part of that. You know, it's very low key kind of thing, but it's just an opportunity to have been part of history at the risk of sounding again a little bit pretentious. But yeah, it'd be nice.
And do you think it will have an effect on you?
I don't think so. No, I've promised that I'll write an article about it for the staff newsletter at work, but. Other than that, I can't see it's going to have an effect. It'll be fun. It'll be something I did. And it'll be something that I'm going to remember, of course. It is a big life experience, I think. It's been something that's... It is unique. Yeah. How often before have people had a chance to form part of one of the statues in a London landmark?
And just to go back to sports sex workers,
yep.
Do you think... prostitution should be legalised in the UK?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
It works in other countries. Australia, for example, runs a system, even complete with a tax model that's been developed from from roving sheep shearers, the same sort of model. The idea being sheep shearers are paid on the number of sheep they fleece, and so that judges their income. And so the tax model for the working girls is based the same way on the number of clients they see, or the number of clients they fleece, arguably. So, it works. It works in other countries. Civilization had fallen. I'm not naive about the whole thing. There is a very unpleasant side to the sex industry, but I think by keeping it all underground, you make it more difficult to find the bad side.
So just to go back to your hour slot.
Yep.
Have you got anybody with you particularly?
I haven't. The thing being that we're heading off to Scotland shortly afterwards. When I get home, we'll be driving up to Scotland. So I've said to my friends, watch me online because I can't really hang about afterwards. So my sister and a couple of my nieces may come down. Otherwise, a lot of people will be watching me online, I think. My boss has said he might show his face, but he lives in Soho, so... but I haven't organised a great day out. I think if things had been different, I might have organised a big sesh kind of thing, but I haven't really got anyone on hand. No supporters. Oh, but I'll live, you know. I know they'll be watching me.
And how are you feeling about the live streaming?
That's going to be very odd. It's been great to watch other people. I think it's been very interesting to actually realise, good Lord, it's live. And to get little insights into what people are doing. It's also been good to watch the highlights afterwards and things like that. I'm as nervous about the live stream as I am about being there anyway. I think I think it's a great part of it. I think it shares it, which I think is important. It allows people to have a look wherever they are, and certainly worldwide. And it's allowing my little boy to have a look.
And are you close? Are you very close to your son?
I like to think so. Yeah, we are at the moment. Yeah, time will come when he's a teenager. He'll be different. But I know. If he's anything like I was as a teacher, it would be terrible. But yeah, we're close. I mean, me and his mum split up, but we're very good friends. We're going on holiday together, all three of us. So that's going to be fun.
How long ago did you split up?
We actually split up before he was born. Which sounds a terrible thing. There'd been a 4-year relationship before that. It wasn't like it was a wham bam, thank you, ma'am. And I deserted her on finding she was pregnant. No, but we split up before he was born. But we've been co-parenting very well now and get on very well. Okay. That's the important thing, I think.
And do you both have new partners?
Neither of us do at the moment. But we. It's quite funny. We don't consciously let the other person meet new partners, but it always happens. But I think because they're people that Hugo's going to get to know as well. Hugo's my son, sorry.
Yeah.
So no, we don't at the moment.
And I know you haven't mentioned it, but I saw you've got a panda that you're taking up.
I have.
Panda.
Panda's my teddy bear who has accompanied me on pretty much every holiday I've been on since I was old enough to remember. He came with me on my honeymoon. Just to complicate matters, of course, Hugo's mum isn't my ex-wife. But I never had any children with my ex-wife. But moving on, sorry. So Panda's come on lots of holidays and things. And I thought it would be nice to bring him along to this as well. I'm far too old for a teddy bear, so he does sit in another room now, but he had to come on this adventure, I think, so it was quite sweet to bring him along.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Alex.